Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Happy New Year. And of course, you know, it's so funny. So many people count their shows. So I'm going to start counting my shows. And of course, this is the number one for 2023. And so I hope that everybody had a good New Year's Eve and a good time off with their family and everybody's safe. And this beautiful weather that we've been having, even though Southern California never rains here, but we needed it so bad. So anyways, I'm so glad that you are here. And of course, I do want to give out our phone number. That is 805-419-0008. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love you to get a part of our newsletter that goes out every single Friday. Also, if you would like to be a guest here or you know somebody that you want to hear more about, please reach out to me and I would love to have them on or have you on. So today, since we are in a whole nother year and we have a new year, new goals, it's always good to remember that a big business starts small. So even if you have an idea or a thought, it's okay because we all have to start somewhere. So with that, that was my little uplifting thought. Again, I want to wish all of you a happy, healthy, prosperous New Year. And I'm so glad that you are here. I want to make sure that you download our podcast, and that is The Kim Pagano Show on all podcast platforms. And we've got a great show for you today. My first guest, I love this, he is a super ager. I mean, who's ever heard of that, which is so cool. He's a best-selling author, a film producer, and he just determined to get fit in his 70s and now 83. He was a former Wall Street executive, best-selling author of Cowboy Ethics, and Just Move. And he has a documentary filmmaker, a social entrepreneur and global speaker. Let's welcome Jim Owens and, of course, his newest documentary
Kim,
film.
I'm so delighted to be with you. And by the way, I'm a super ager in training. Okay.
We're all
works in progress. That's all I can say.
We are all work in progress. You're absolutely right. But I love that you had the interest to want to be better. And that's really what it's all about. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Kim, when I turned 70, I was in awful shape, to put it mildly. My back was killing me. Both knees were shot. I was seriously overweight. And if that weren't enough, I had no energy. And I looked in the mirror. This is on my 70th birthday now, and thought, so this is what old age looks like. And I told Kim, I told my wife, her name is Stanya, S-T-A-N-Y-A, been married 53 years.
Wow.
Happy years. I said, honey, I'm worried about getting old. And she said, sweetheart, don't worry about that. She said, what's important is you've still got game. Then she said, unfortunately, the game is bingo. And I said,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's cute. That's really cute.
So it's no fun, you know, so to speak, getting old.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do about it. And I think, I mean, is there anybody in your audience, is there anybody who's 65 and over who doesn't know that you've got to do something? You know, they say, well, you just move or something like that. And the answer is, that's great in philosophy, but what do you actually do? And if there had been a book written about this, I would have just read the book. Kim, the real story is on this, and why this is such a difficult thing for most people to get fit and to lose weight and so on when you're older, is that 99% of all the stuff that you read and, you know, hear about in the news and so on is aimed at young people. You know, how to build a swell, how to lift heavy weights or how to, I'm getting married in 20 years, in 20 months or something. No, here's how to lose weight. Look good in a bathing suit. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. But when you're older, you have different issues. You know, your back hurts. You have physical issues, and then you have mental issues because you're not quite as sharp as you used to be.
You can't remember to do it, right? No.
Right. So you say, I know I need to do something, but I'm not sure exactly. The doctor says, Jim, you need exercise. Okay. What do I do? Well, the reason there's a long pause. He didn't know himself, typically, an older doctor, but ones I've known, you know, and went to trained Mayo Clinic and so on, typically they're overweight. If you look at them, think about it. Most 80, 75-year-old doctors are overweight themselves. So it's just kind of a mystery. And again, the problem is most of what you read about, you know, podcasts and all this other stuff, social media, is magazines, is all aimed at young people. And when you're 70, the issues that you have are very different issues. It's not about body image at all. And it's not about how much can you lift. It's just, gee, I feel low energy. How can I lose a few pounds? But mainly we all have issues. And yours may be different than mine. That's the way it goes. So I say, well, I got to do something. Kim, I started a walking program. So I was... They say, Jim, do you have any credentials? And I'm very quick to say, yes, I have one. I was a certified couch potato. And I'm not alone in this. Would you believe, Kim, that roughly 70% of older adults are couch potatoes? That's the number, according to Mayo Clinic.
Wow.
And the reason, and when I say couch potato, what we're really talking about specifically is sitting. Okay, so this is the evil. It's not necessarily, you know, on a couch. It's watching TV in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's sitting, and sitting 8 to 11 hours a day. Now that's not my opinion. That's what Harvard Medical School says. And from based on their research, is you believe your audience typically sits 8 to 11 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's a big part of the issue. So you got to get off the couch. Okay. So I was overweight, you know, no energy at all. And I'm not unique in that. So, well, Jim, what did you do? Well, I started a walking program. Why walking? Well, I said, I got to do something. And Ken, would you believe that I was so out of shape when I turned 70 that literally I could not walk 2 blocks without huffing and puffing? That's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, I'm going to try for 30 days. And so 7 days a week for 1 month. And it wasn't a challenge. I just said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to start by walking. And would you believe 30 days later, I actually felt better. Now, I'm not talking about, I didn't run, I didn't jog, I just walked. And I couldn't walk but 2 or 3 blocks. So I said, okay, maybe today I walk 4 or 5 blocks more. But at the end of 30 days, I could actually walk, not fast, but just walk, a leisurely pace, you might say. Well, this is not power walking at all. It's just strolling along, you might say. And I could do it for probably, 25 or 30 minutes. So it got me in the habit of doing something. The problem
is,
the walking didn't take care of my lower back pain, didn't take care of my loss of strength, and it kind of improved my mood, no doubt about it. But it did not really, I lost maybe, 3 pounds, we'll say that week. So that's when I decided to do something. I ended up joining a gym and hiring a personal trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I set, I think your audience might like this, I set some goals for myself.
I love that.
And Kim, these were my goals. I'm not saying this is your goals or your audience's goals, but my goal said, number one, I said, I want to get my old energy back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get rid of my aches and pains. I want to be able to do, are you ready for this? 50 push-ups.
Wow.
And I couldn't do one.
Right.
Okay.
Let me ask
and
you a
finally,
question.
I want to lose. Yeah. I want to get as lean as I can get. And I didn't put
that.
A pound. I didn't say I want to lose 10 pounds or 20. I just said, mm-hmm. I'm seriously overweight. I want to get lean. And
why did
5 years
start
later,
when you were 70?
I met every goal except one.
That's what's the last one. I want to hear that.
Well, the last one was the weight issue.
Oh.
And I lost some weight. But mm-hmm. the truth is, and this is my message to your audience, in my heart, I really believed that if I worked out hard enough, that's what I did, okay, so I could do 50 push-ups, I thought I could burn enough energy just by exercising. And so the truth is, yes, I did 50 push-ups. Yes, I looked better. I had more energy. The problem is I was eating the typical American diet. And I thought that I could burn off this, you know, calorie stuff. And I wasn't counting calories. I said, look, as hard as I'm working out, you know, strength training, all this other stuff, I'm sure I can burn enough calories. I didn't. And that was my problem. And so it took me probably 2 more years of cleaning up my eating act.
Right.
And I want to share with you and your audience something. I've always been told that, you know, you are what you eat. I've always
right.
heard this. I looked at this. This is a mindset. No doctor told me this. No fitness expert told me this. I didn't read it. I just kind of on my own instinctively said, you know, that may be true. But for me, you are what you don't eat. And that changed my life. Just one, you know, mindset. You are what you don't eat. And instead of eating for pleasure, and this may be a turnoff to everybody in your office, but in your audience, but instead of eating, you know, for pleasure and, oh, I just love the taste of food and da-da-da-da-da, I said, you know, I'm going to change the way I'm looking at this whole thing. I'm going to look at eating as a source of energy. And that's what I did. And
okay.
2 years later, I was down to 155.
Beautiful. You know, it's interesting.
I was listed in high school, all because of a mindset change. But anybody can
do
this.
Jim, I started walking actually last year. I mean,
mm-hmm.
like every single day. First of all, oh my gosh, it helps your mindset so much. I just, you know, I always waited for my husband to walk with me. And then I was like, no, this is for me. And
yeah,
so
exactly.
sometimes he goes, sometimes he doesn't,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it's for me. Even just put some ear pods on and just mm-hmm. out there. And you're just even just looking at nature.
Absolutely.
I mean, one, the same thing, you know, the question I have for you, why do you think you waited till you were 70?
Well, it was simple. I was building my career. I mean, that's the truth. And I wrote a book called Cowboy Ethics. And
mm-hmm.
I thought we might sell, this was back in 2004. I thought we might sell 500 copies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We sold 160,000. The book is still selling.
Wow.
I'm not a cowboy. But it's about winning at life. It's just code of the West, winning at life kind of stuff. And very,
mm-hmm.
I'm basically an inspirational speaker, you might say. I had a great career.
Yes, I could hear.
That's all
yeah.
true. But
mm-hmm.
my passion is really inspiring people. And
to live
that's
their
kind
best
of my
life.
Passion. That's my purpose in life. And I can do it. And I get passionate about something. I admit, I become obsessive. I can't help it. I'm kind
mm-hmm.
of, I get a passion on something. I'm just driven by this.
Right.
And so anyway, I this was my drive, and it worked with Cowboy Ethics, but I was killing myself traveling. So Kim, real quickly, Monday, Boston, Tuesday, Orlando, Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
Portland, Oregon. I did it for 10 years. And
right.
that was all giving talks. And
you woke up
spoken to.
And you have a new life. Jim, we almost
mm-hmm.
have like a minute left. how do my listeners get your book? And it's such an inspiration. You, kudos to you and your wife, because your wife is also a fitness partner, correct?
She is in fitness because she heard a friend say, you know, Jim used to be a couch potato. Now he's a spud.
said, I love it. How do we find your book?
And now she works out the way I do. We work out together.
That's beautiful. What do they say? A family that plays together stays together, right? So
yes.
A family that works out together probably looks great together.
Absolutely so true.
Where
and
do we
yes,
find
fun.
Your book?
Well, in the book that I wrote came out in 2017. National Geographic published it's called JUST, Just Move, A New Approach to Fitness After 50. And if somebody had written the book, Kim, I wouldn't have taken 2 years to write it. But I don't think the book has been written for, quote, older people. Now, older to me means probably 65 or 70. So I wrote this. It's not about how much money that I make on the book. But you can go to Amazon and it's $25, but Amazon, you can buy it for like $15 or $16. But I think if you read it, I'm not selling protein powder. I'm not a trainer. I'm not a life coach. I'm just
You're
a guy.
You're selling a better life.
I've been through all this stuff.
I'm feeling better. I love that. Jim?
It's just a passion. That's all it is.
I love it.
It's not,
Thank
not a
you
business.
So much for sharing that on our first show of this year, because I think it's such an inspiration to let other people know that it doesn't matter what age. So again, Happy New Year, Jim, and I'd love
the
to have you back
on. Same to you, Kim, and I hope it's a healthy one for you and your family.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Keep up
Kim.
That great work and share our show with everybody and download our podcast. Thank you. All right, we are going to take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Grace Fox, and of course, hers is Fresh Hope for Today. We are inspiring you to live your best life here on 2023.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com, or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Even good people can end up under investigation or facing a criminal charge. Ridley Defense can help start getting your life back on track. Bringing on a premier criminal defense team like Ridley Defense as early as possible gives you the greatest potential for a favorable outcome. Learn how Ridley Defense can help. Call 805-208-1866 for a complimentary consultation about your case. Ridley Defense provides the very best criminal defense representation you'll find in Ventura, Santa Barbara, and Los Angeles. They are dedicated to devoting their entire resources to defending you. For more information, visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Ridley Defense can help heal you and your family during the criminal justice process. Ridley Defense handles everything from DUI to the most serious crimes, including major felonies and appeals. Get a premier criminal defense team on your side. Visit RidleyDefense.com. That's RidleyDefense.com. Or call 805-208-1866 today.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here, waking up with us, starting your day in a positive way. My next guest is Grace Fox, and of course, her book, Fresh Hope for Today. Grace is a career global worker, international speaker at women's events, and her passion is to connect the dots between faith and real life by helping others learn to love, understand, and apply God's word. She has written 9 books and is a member of the First 5 writing team. And her and her husband, Dean, live on a sailboat in British Columbia. I love that. I want to learn more about that. I always think it's so interesting the way other people live their lives and their journeys. So let's welcome Grace. Are you there?
I'm here. Nice to be on the show, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Good. You're good. So how long have you been living on a boat?
Well, I can hardly believe it, but it's coming to the 5th anniversary. So we moved on board in 2018.
Wow. And so did you have a home, or do you still have a home, or is this a, what made that decision?
Yeah, I grew up in southern Alberta on the prairie. So I was a landlubber girl all the way. But I met and married a fellow from Washington who grew up on the waterfront and drove a boat for the first time when he was 6 years old. So
I have one of those too that I married. I think that's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, so different. But it was really, I think it's a calling. It wasn't just a spur of the moment thing, hey, let's sell our stuff and move on to a boat. It was something that we had talked about 20 years before we actually put it into action. And when it finally happened, it really was like this nudge in our spirits that said, now's the time. And everything fell into place to find a boat, to find a place to moor it. And just all the details that had to come together came together.
I love that. And you love it?
I do. We're in winter up here, of course, and we're in Vancouver, so it's very wet. And the greatest challenge that I face would be mildew. So I have all my cupboards open all the time just to get air circulating, and we run a dehumidifier. So that's my greatest challenge. But if that's my greatest challenge, hey, that's pretty simple.
There you go. I love it. And obviously, do you have children?
We do. They're grown and gone now. So I have three.
Okay, so this is like your next chapter in your life, correct?
Right. Emptiness.
You couldn't be doing this with children, though, could you? No.
You know what? We actually do have some people in the marina who have little ones on board. I don't know how they do it, but they do.
I would think the same thing. But good for you guys. This is a new chapter or a different chapter in your life. And you're right. Sometimes I love that, how you were saying, you talk about it and life just kind of shows itself and it's the right timing for you. And so talking with that, your book, okay, Fresh Hope for Today. Here we are in my first show for 2023. And I have thousands of shows, okay, but I never counted them. And I thought, I'm going to do that this year. So I'm going to see if I can keep up with that. But you talk about, how we can choose joy over fear. That is definitely a mindset. Do you agree?
It totally is a mindset, because life gives us a lot of reasons to be afraid these days. And so we could go down that path, and that's the way that our human bent naturally goes. It always leans towards the negative, but we have to learn to reel it in, to bring it back. And because if we go down that path, it's just not going to go well for us. We'll wake up in the morning dreading the day. We'll have stomach aches. We can lose sleep, all the rest of it. But But choosing joy, choosing to reframe difficult experiences can just change everything for us.
Right. I 100%. And, you know, it's almost like this is what helped me is I have four children. If you look at your children and say maybe they're nervous about something and you know, my dad always used to tell me what's the worst thing that can happen and work backwards, you know. But even in life, if you could almost talk to your younger self and say, okay, I get where you're really nervous about this, but I'm sure you're going to do a good job. And if you are starting to feel this way, how do you reel yourself back in? How do you tell people that?
Yeah. So if I start feeling nervous about something, it's really good for me to just ask a coaching type question. And that is, there's actually a story in the Bible that I got this one from where Mary went to to Jesus' tomb, and she saw the angel sitting there. She assumed that the soldiers had taken Jesus' body away, and so she's crying, and the angels look at her and say, why are you crying? And then a moment later, Jesus, who's standing right behind her, says, why are you crying? And it's because she'd made a false assumption about the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I've learned from that if I'm feeling distraught about something or fearful about something, I could take a step back and say, what assumption am I making about these circumstances? And to be able to hone in on that can really help me determine whether or not I'm just fearful over wrong assumptions. Like, you know, I've built a case on something for which there's no foundation to build a case on. Or whether there's realistic reason for being scared. And if there is, then what can I do about it?
Right. Did you get all your facts right? Did you really, you know, are you really clear on what your reason for being scared or fearful is? You also talk about restored relationship restores joy. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So relationships they're greatly challenged today, I think, because there's so many reasons for divisiveness in our in our society and what's going on around us. But, you know, so broken relationships bring pain. But when relationships are restored, when they're brought back together, you know, that word restored actually carries with it the connotation of rebuilding and sometimes even stronger than it was the first time. Mm-hmm. And so that restores our joy. I'm thinking of a family relationship that I have right now. That's a strained one. And as we work towards restoration, there's that sense inside me that joy will come back. You know, the joy that we used to have will be restored as we learn to understand where we're each coming from and learn to understand and appreciate each other in a new way. Maybe our relationship will be even stronger than it was before. And joy. We can't base our joy on external things over which we have no control, because if we do, we will be sorely disappointed. But we can base joy on a hopeful outcome for a situation that's hard or a relationship that's difficult. You know, just that sense of anticipation that things are going to work out.
You also talk about, and I really think that this is so true. Sometimes when we're going through pain, business, pain, relationship, pain in just life, it's like, what are we supposed to be learning from this? What are we supposed to be gaining from this? So when you think of pain, you want to go pain, gain. What am I going to learn? And I know you talk about that, correct?
Yes, because there's, you know, how we respond to pain makes all the difference too. And that's what I mean about reframing the situations that we're in, because we can look at a situation that's painful and say, woe is me. Why is this happening to me? And then we get stuck in this pit of self-pity and start beating ourselves up over everything that we've done wrong and what we might've done differently. But if we can reframe a difficult situation and start thinking of it in terms of the lessons that we can learn. What is it that I can learn through this? Maybe there is something that I should have done different. Maybe I shouldn't have said what I said so so hastily. You know, right. There are things that we can learn, and we can grow from our pain.
I totally agree. I mean, really, we have to, like, reflect on who we are, because if you look at it, our reflection of who we are is what we're reflecting out to people. So if we take care of our side of the road, it might change their perspective, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we start, I'm going to go back to that word reframing again. It just keeps coming to mind in our conversation. If we learn to reframe the way we view difficulty, we will reflect to others that we are in charge of our responses. Like, we're not being victimized by our circumstances, but we are taking control and learning to respond in a way that is healthy and wise.
Mm.
And that's what we want to reflect to others, because you know what, like, we're in a hurting world. People are hurting around us. And if we can encourage others by our response and encourage them to respond in such a way, we'll all be in a better place.
Mm, I love that. You know what? And when you, I keep hearing you say we're in a hurting world. And yes, my gosh, there's so many things. It just feels like in my lifetime, and maybe, I don't know. I mean, you're saying the same thing. And so many people, you hear of life, so many shootings, so many deaths, so many, you know, the pandemic, right? How do we turn that around, kind of like what we're talking about today, of finding hope when you look at it, and God forbid there was an accident and you see all these wonderful people come to help? Gosh, there is hope. When, God forbid, there's a shooting and you see all these innocent people trying to help those people, there, you know, that's the hope, right?
I think what we really need to do is practice gratitude every day. Mm. Gratitude is huge, because when we learn to express thankfulness, even for the little things in life, that releases serotonin and dopamine into our system. And those are chemicals that are associated with contentment and pleasure. So our body and our brain work together, and they communicate that it's going to be okay. There are things that are good in life, and our whole body can start to relax. It will respond to that. And so that whole feeling of stress and that anticipation of the what if, the worst that's going to happen, all of that starts to go when we begin to express gratitude. And so even as we're talking, I'm looking out the window of my sailboat, and I'm looking across the river to a bird sanctuary. And as you were talking a moment ago, I saw a bald eagle fly by.
There you go.
So in my heart, I can say, wow, thank you, God, for the sight of that bald eagle. It's just beautiful. Like, how cool is that, right?
That is very cool. And you know what? I mean, I've even gotten to the place where if I'm in traffic and all of a sudden everything just stops and I'm supposed to be somewhere and, you know, I'm not typically late. That's just not my character. And I go, okay, thank you, God. He's protecting me from being somewhere else. And if you continually think wherever you are in your life that you're being protected, and this is either a lesson or a gain, or, you know, you're being protected and it's just a little detour to where you're supposed to be, how positive is that?
That's right. It might be just an opportunity to learn patience. There you go. Reframing it from, oh, I'm stuck in this lineup. I'm stuck in this traffic jam. I'm going to be late. You know, turn it around again. This is an opportunity for me to practice patience.
I have one more question for you. You refer to two joy stealers. So talk to us about that. Difficult circumstances is one, right? And difficult relationships. What do you say about these?
Yeah, they can definitely steal our joy, especially when we have expectations about how our circumstances are supposed to look or how our relationships are supposed to be. And when those expectations aren't fulfilled, then our joy can just go, you know, fizzle right out the window. But that's, again, a place where we have to learn and grow to say, I'm not going to base my joy on what happens. It's beyond my control. I'm not going to base my joy on people that I can't control. And so to be able to, again, turn that around and say, my joy needs to be based on something else. My joy needs to be based on something that is not going to give way. And that way we can regain our joy again, gain control over our life.
I love it. I love it. What do you hope for our listeners that they'll learn or discover from reading your book?
Yeah. So this book is it's a gathering of 90 little daily meditations. And my hope, my reason for writing it was that understanding that people can be in a very hard place often, and it can be for a number of different reasons, but loss, crisis, anything, you know, chronic illness, a medical diagnosis that flips one's life upside down. And so rather than fall into despair over those circumstances, again, largely over which we have no control, to learn to call on God and say, help, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. And to find encouragement in his promises and in knowing that they're not alone, but he's with them.
I like that. Grace Fox, are all your books similar to this?
My last three are. There was like a little trilogy of devotional books like this that came out all within about a year and a half of each other during this pandemic time. And they're all about finding hope finding hope in crisis. Devotions for Common Chaos was the first. And then another one was about finding hope and strength in the storm. So, and then this one, Fresh Hope for Today, Devotions for Joy in the Journey. So, yeah, those three are all similar. I have other devotional books as well. And then I have one called Moving from Fear to Freedom, A Woman's Guide to Peace in Every Situation. And that's more of a chapter book, not little daily reading.
And let me ask you, my last thing to you is, what happens when you're going through something that you need guidance? How do you handle that?
How do I handle that?
Mm-hmm.
I definitely make prayer my first go-to. I used to run to a friend or run to my husband and dump and say, help, I can't do this.
Right, but, and now you go within yourself.
Yeah, I go to my Bible and my journal. I get up early every morning just to center myself in that. And then, you know, if something happens that I just don't understand and it's just really hurtful, I go to God and I just say, help. And sometimes I don't even know what to pray. That my prayers are not long and fancy or eloquent. They are sometimes two-word prayers like this, help, wisdom.
Right. I love it. I love it. Well, Happy New Year. And thank you so much for joining us here. It was a pleasure talking with you, and some really good insight for so many of us, really, to start our year in a positive way. And please download our podcast, and I'd love to connect with you through social.
You bet. No problem. So I'm Grace Fox, Christian author, speaker is what I would be on Facebook. I'm on Instagram as well, Grace Lowen Fox. And Grace Lowen Fox is also my timeline on Facebook.
Perfect. Let's reach out to each other. Thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Our next guest, we're just going to bring him on. And of course, a lot of you know him because he's been on this show before, Tom McLean. He's a dad, a comedian, a sports nut, and he is the outreach coordinator for Project Understanding. Tom, are you there?
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm excited. Thank you so much for having me on. It's only been a few weeks, but it feels like it's been forever.
I know. And so you got some things going on, you know. It's funny, like we all kind of, you know, get ready for the new year and putting those new venues on. Let's talk a little bit about what you've got going on for your new year.
All right, absolutely. Well, I have I'm going to be over at Levity Live for the first time in a while, where I actually have my Tom McClain night where I'm going to headline.
And it's
It's going to be the first time I've done a set in quite a while, a longer set at Levity anyways. I know you've come out and support me quite a few times, Kim, and I really do appreciate that. Listeners might not know that I went through a lot of personal stuff over the last couple of years. You know, being a really close friend of mine, you've kind of been in touch with all of that. But, my personal situations have changed, so my comedy's changed.
You dusted yourself off and you kept going on, right?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the only choice you really have, especially when you have
really
a couple of pairs of eyes looking at you at the age of, 11 and 13. You have to push on and show them that, life goes on, and you can pretty much face anything any challenge that's put in front of you, as long as you have the right mind frame and the tools and all that stuff. And
right.
So usually,
and Tom, you're so good at making people laugh. You really are, And just to kind of just talk about that a little bit. There's a lot of comedians that are sad sometimes, but they find comedy in life. Talk to us about that.
Well, I grew up in a pretty rough area of Sacramento. Like, I grew up in it's hard for people who that aren't from there to really kind of understand, like, all the dynamics that are involved. There's just a lot of, I don't even really want to go into all of it, but like, when you're in that situation, and I stand out, I'm a big, gigantic dude. I was a big, gigantic kid, and you could be, like, the person that everybody picks on, or you could be, and all that. So you have to figure out a way to disarm yourself. I don't want to fight every day. I don't have any interest in, I'm not a good fighter, nor do I have any interest in getting hurt in a fight. So I kind of learned how to disarm people by goofing around and joking around and just kind of trying to be generally kind. Cause usually somebody who's trying to inflict pain on you, usually it's because they've gone through a bunch of stuff themselves. So
good
insight. I kind of figured that at a young age. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I love coming here, because I don't have people trying to inflict pain on me. They just come out and laugh and support me and all that stuff. And it's
exactly.
So great.
So talk to us. When is this, first of all?
Thursday, February 2nd. And I have a really great lineup. As you know, I work with comics who I really believe in as good people, good comics that are actually growing and things. So I have Kat Alvarado, who recently recorded an album. She's got an HBO special that she's recording this year, and many, many other great things. She's coming out. She's going to open for me. My good friend Jen Sturger, who you see all over the sports stuff, she's going to be there. We have Sierra, who you might remember Sierra. Sierra started out as a waitress in the back of the room during one of my shows and asked me what it's like to do comedy. So I threw her on the stage, and guess what? Here we are a couple of years later. And she's everybody's favorite. Everybody loves her.
I love that. So do we have any tickets to give our listeners?
I do have tickets to give to our listeners. I tell you what, because you've always been so supportive and everything, I want any of your listeners that want to go, I want to make sure that we get them in. So we're going to guest list all of the Kim Cogano listeners, all of your friends. I'll make sure to come up and say hi to you guys before we get the show started and all of that. We'll just make it a good, fun party. What do you think?
How fun is that? And we need that in our new year, because I think laughter is such the great medicine, correct?
I think it is. And I think it's a good time to start focusing on the people who are helping, and people who are, bringing the joy and the laughter. Like, it's time to focus on that kind of stuff. Cause I feel like there's too much trying to draw our attention towards all the negative stuff going on. And really, there's just as much good stuff going on, balancing out the negative. We're just not paying attention to it.
There you go. I love it. So again, say the date, Thursday.
Thursday, February 2nd. That's going to be at Levity Live. And it's going to be a really good show. I always stand by the lineup that I put together. And it'll be one of the better shows that they have, in this area for the entire year. I can guarantee that.
Right. I love it. So for our listeners, call in right now. I'm going to be mentioning this again, but I want you to get on that list. 805-419-0008. Bring your friends, bring your family, make it a date night, right? I mean, there's so much fun there. And it's right here. I mean, and not only that, it's just you're supporting somebody who's doing great stuff in our community. That's what it's all about. Tom, I also want to talk to you about Project Understanding.
I know that you are the outreach coordinator for them, and I, you know, love what they do for so many people. As it's been raining this whole week, and, you know, a lot of the homeless don't have, you know, jackets, blankets, whatever. That's what you guys do out there. Talk to us a little bit more about what you do.
That's right. As a matter of fact, the last, I'd say like the last 24 hours or so, we've been kind of texting back and forth. You know, I think there's seven employees total, and we've kind of been texting back and forth. Okay, this is what we're going to do. If this problem pops up, this is what we're going to do. I always try to say that Project Understanding is like our community, compassionate and creative problem solvers, because we have to like shift with what's going on. The needs of our community keeps getting bigger. And so we kind of have to figure out bigger ways to solve these problems. And I just, Project Understanding is just a really, really good organization. And I'm so glad, I'm actually standing in the middle of my office right now talking to you at Project Understanding.
There you go. I like it.
And I'm just, we have so many great things going on this year. You know, so many people that we plan on helping and so many initiatives that we plan on taking. And we really want to make sure that the community knows that nobody should feel alone. Nobody should feel like they don't have options. Everybody should realize that, you know, that there is hope. And, you know, the scope of things that Project Understanding does is just kind of, it's incredible. Like, it's not just a food pantry. It's not just tutoring. It's not just, you know, services to keep people out of getting, you know, to prevent homelessness. It's like so many different things. I mean, I don't know if you saw the toy drives we did and the amount of toys given out where they drove right through the communities in Santa.
Yeah, I saw the van
out of the classic cars
toys
and handed
that
out
you
toys.
Guys were giving out. Yeah, that's incredible. How
and
long
Thanksgiving
has,
dinners for so many families. Like, there's just so many things that Project Understanding does, and I just don't think people really realize the depth and the level of care that they put into the community.
Yeah. How long has Project Understanding been around?
It's fairly new. It's been around. We're going on 46 years this year.
Yeah, that's fairly new. I like it. Wow, that's incredible.
Newer than me. A little newer than me.
Yeah.
But yeah, we plan on having some level of a birthday party and kind of telling people about our origins before too long in the early part of this year. So I will definitely be checking back in with you, inviting you to that, because I think it's going to be a really cool thing.
Tom, who started it?
Who started Project Understanding?
Yeah.
I am not 100% sure of the name. I was told, it's funny because I should know this because we're actually working on a video vignette right now that I'm putting together. And I do know that it was started out of a garage right here in Ventura where it was kind of a food pantry. There was a need that was seen, and a couple members of the community decided we're going to, you know, help out. So if you want to find out that name and more, just wait until we have our biggest.
And I'll have you back, Tom. What a great idea.
I think that'd be a great idea, because I always love coming to talk to you, Kim.
I know. No, you know what? You do a great job. And, you know, it's funny. It's when, you know, here you give back to the community and you make us laugh. Hello. How much better can that be? So what are your plans for the new year? And I know that you also have a golf tournament coming up, correct?
Yeah,
we have to give all the details now, but that's another thing that's coming up.
Yeah, we do. We're actually doing a spring classic coming up in May for Project Understanding. I'm not even sure if we've officially announced that yet, but we do have that coming up and a whole lot more. So, yeah, we're really going to fill your calendar this year. If you like having fun and you like helping people, I'm going to fill up your calendar this year, I promise.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Again, give out your Thursday, February 2nd, and of course, we're going to have fun, and I hope I can be there because I love to meet all my listeners. So again, call in right now, 419-0008, get your name on the list at Levity Live in Oxnard right there, and Tom McClain and his friends. We'll be there, and so much fun. I'll put a link also in my newsletter so that, you know, everybody can log on that way too. So again, Happy New Year. I'm so glad that we got together, and I love hearing good things. So keep it up, and I'm glad you're back.
I am too. Thank you so much, Kim. I appreciate your friendship and support through all of this, and I can't wait to see what kind of amazing things we're going to do in the community in 2023.
You got it. Thank you. And I appreciate you too. So, all right. All right. Well, we are going to just move right on to our last guest. And of course, I have Angie Cardona Nelson. She's the owner of Angie's Green Go Surplus. So let's welcome her. Let's welcome Angie.
How are you? And good morning and welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. I was looking forward to this interview because I love jewelry and I love collectors and all that stuff. And I can't wait to hear about it, all the vintage clothing that you do. So I do want to welcome Angie Cardona Nelson. And a welcome. She's talking about really your business and small business owners who started with their own creative ideas. And so, Angie, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited too.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, yourself.
Well, thank you. So, well, it's a long story, so where do I start?
How long has your business been going on?
Yeah, so we started our business in 2008, right when the financial crisis, hit. My husband and I went to an abandonment auction, a company that was going out of business, and we were looking for some furniture for our newlywed apartment, and we came up with tons of electronics and e-waste. And that's how we, you know, got introduced to the world of the electronics, and we found a way that to divert electronics from the landfill. And then we also found that there was a potential value for all these items. So we started selling them locally, but there is only so much you can sell locally. You know, there is so much around your neighborhood. So we turned to eBay. And once we did that, it was life-changing because we started reaching out customers around the United States and globally. So it was definitely the best decision we've ever done.
That's beautiful. So, okay, so was it hard to get on eBay? And if you can share with our listeners the benefits of eBay with a small business, how it can really take you to that next step. Obviously, it's done that, correct?
So it's actually fairly easy. They're making it easier and easier every time to be on the platform. I wish it was that when I started 15 years ago. And you know, the fun part is, so there is no, if you want to start your own business, there is no minimal investment. You can just go around your house and see what, you know, what you want to get rid of. And,
right.
So then you can do the research on the platform, with the tools they provide, you can see if the item that you want to get rid of, it's on high demand. And then once you find out those things, then you need to definitely check out how you're going to ship it, because shipping can make you or break you. So you need to know, what carrier you're going to use, how you're going to ship it, what box, et cetera. And then just know your niche, know your competitors. And the wonderful thing is that eBay has a what's called a up and running program. And they have all of the tools necessary for you to be successful. And, you know, you can sell as a hobby or to start a business or to just grow your existing one. So there is plenty of options.
And Andy, your business is Green Go Surplus, right? What a great name. How did you come up with that?
Thank you. Actually, my mother-in-law helped me out because we were trying to go green, my husband is a gringo, so it's a double meaning. It's spelled different, but
there you go.
Go green. I know, not everybody gets my jokes.
That's cute. So do you do auctions on eBay?
I don't do auctions anymore. All of my items are just at set price, but people can always make me offers. That's the fun part of eBay. You know, you get to get people excited on making you those offers, and then you can close the deal. eBay started as an auction site, and that's how they became famous for. Mm-hmm. However, they really transformed into the top, one of the top premier online places around the world for sales. And like I said, you can, you know, use it as a for hobbies or to really run your business. The tools are there. You just get to pick.
I love it. What a great option to bring here and share, especially nowadays since the pandemic, people are looking for different options to start their business. Is there a huge startup or is it pretty simple?
Well, to start, say it again.
So there's not really a huge setup, right? You just kind of put your stuff together, take pictures, and put it on, correct?
Yeah. Oh, no. No, you just, like I said, so just start with what you know, right? First of all, the stuff that you have in your house, or if you have a niche and something that you're really good at, then you just go, you know, go from there, just some pictures, and then you make sure that the pictures are with the right color, the right angle, and also that you describe it properly. Right, because you want to make sure people find you with the right keywords.
Right, congratulations. And how do our listeners find out more about this?
They can go to ebayinc.com and find the full results of the whole small business report and get lots of information.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you so much for sharing it here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life.
What a great show. And again, Happy New Year to you. Make sure that your goal is written down. It's not just a dream and that it's actually something that you're working towards. Again, I always end my show with a moment of happiness. You don't build business, you build people. Then people build the business. Make sure that you're showing love to everybody that you want to be a part of your life and it will reflect back on you. With that, have a great rest of your weekend and I'll talk to you next week.